Welcome to the Trade Show Podcast, the home for conversations with global leaders in the trade show and events business. Our show will bring you face to face with experts who speak about the possibilities and trajectories of this $50 billion industry. I'm your host, Shubhanjan Sarkar, founder of PitchLink, the next generation visitor engagement platform, where our mission is to make conversion easy. Welcome to this episode of the Trade Show Podcast. Thank you for listening and your continued feedback. If you have suggestions or you want me to dig in with a specific guest, please write to me at shubhanjan@pitch.link or message me on LinkedIn. Both links available in the show notes. I'm excited to introduce our guest today, Nancy Drapeau, Vice President Research CEIR, Center for Exhibition Industry Research, now a part of AIEE. We are welcoming Nancy back to continue our conversation about the series of research on attendee engagement that she conducted. If you want to catch her earlier analysis, do listen to episode 8.
Even during the pandemic, exhibitors were very happy with the quality of it. It was the buyers coming, the ones they wanted to talk to, rather than tire kickers or end users, those that aren't involved in the purchasing decisions, which are important. Right. If you have end users, they can indeed influence purchasing decisions. But again, this is something that we'll be monitoring. But exhibitors are back because 94% of exhibitors that we polled in an omnichannel study done in 2021, we said, well, once trade shows happen, are you coming back? And 94% said, yes, we're coming back. And the data in terms of what's actually happening affirms that.
Nancy Drapeau, IPC, is a 30-year market research veteran with more than 20 years in the business-to-business exhibitions industry. As Center for Exhibition Industry Research, CEIR's Vice President of Research, Nancy conducts industry-wide studies and reports on current trends in the exhibition industry. She's a well-respected industry speaker and a member of the Industry Insights Association with IPC certification. She has served as a member of the Events Industry Council's Research and Advocacy Task Force. She lives in Maine with her husband and border collie named Moxie. Now, on to another insightful and informative episode with Nancy Drapeau. Nancy, welcome back to the Trade Show Podcast. I'm so excited to have this conversation. The last one was very well received, as you know, and we heard a lot about that, and I'm like thrilled to be able to talk about the rest of the research and the findings. Let's take it from the top, in the sense that face-to-face engagement seems to be a key metric, right, for exhibitors. And how is it linked to finding the ICP at the booth, and how does it stack up vis-a-vis lead generation and brand building? So the point is, when exhibitors are being spoken to as per the research findings, they value face-to-face. And in another part of the research, we have spoken about how they value lead generation versus brand building. How does all these three stack up with respect to bringing the right people to the booth?
Well, I mean, it's all connected. Correct. I mean, 96% of exhibitors, my apologies, use attendee engagement tactics to ultimately achieve the specific performance metrics they're looking to achieve at a trade show. I mean, the trade show channel is all about face-to-face. So the companies that invest in the channel, it's integral to their marketing and sales process to have that face-to-face engagement throughout the purchase process continuum. And what's exciting is that the data from this report series, part three, shows or proves that exhibitors say trade shows deliver against specific performance metrics. So the typical top three objectives for investing and exhibiting is to generate sales leads, you know, keep that, you know, funnel of leads coming through, as well as achieving a variety of branding objectives. And then to slightly face-to-face engagement as well with customers and prospects. So ultimately, I was just at an event, Expo Expo, when we did a session on this, and I was just urging the organizers in the room to make sure, what about the show services that you make available to exhibitors helps them be as successful as possible, because it's all connected to your question about, well, how do they achieve the branding? How do you drive sales leads? Well, there are buckets of opportunities, show services that organizers can make available for exhibitors to invest in. And what they should invest in really depends on why they're exhibiting. Right. So if there's a new product launch and they want to give those product engagements, well, that's one array of options, you know, for pre-event marketing promotions. You want to maximize brand impressions through, you know, whatever activities happening during the show. You might bring in social media influencers. You know, it runs the gamut. Whereas if it's about just, you know, sales lead generation, and that is of particular importance to product focused events, consumer goods and packaging, where they're really looking to drive sales, then it's all about getting the right people to the booth. It's oftentimes the primary objective, making sure you're targeting the audience that you're looking to connect with. An event might have 10,000 people coming, but one must be realistic in terms of, you know, the number of people you can engage with over a 3-day period. And it's a function too, how many staff you have in the booth, how big your, you know, your show booth is, all of that. So you need to be very strategic from an exhibitor perspective on investing well and making sure you're at the right show, first of all. Yeah. You know, you can't just, you know, buy a booth and show up and think that everything's going to go well. No, it requires a lot more work, you know, that pre-event marketing, the right messaging that is of interest to the attendees. You know, you need to align messaging in tandem with what attendees, you know, are expecting. Most attendees come to shop and they come to learn, and there's an insatiable appetite to see and experience what is new products, new techniques, keeping pace with hot industry trends. So if the messaging and the content on the exhibitor's part is positioned to be of appeal to who they're trying to connect with, again, they should do it with pre-event marketing. It's what they should be doing, positioning content and experiences they're making available to attendees coming in to what they want. If you do all that, position it strategically, the chances of hitting those end goals for exhibiting are quite high. But you got to make sure you're at the right show. So due diligence is needed, right? Go shopping, you know, define what success looks like before you even choose to, you know, exhibit at a show. Do they have the right attendee base coming? And if so, then, you know, drill down. I've heard something, folks, you know, organizers, yes, they need to, the responsibility is to deliver the audiences that they promise and to offer, you know, options that are cost effective. But I'll be lecturing at Exhibitor Live. There's a lot of responsibility on the part of exhibitors to invest appropriately. Again, you can't be passive and think, you know, put the burden on organizers alone. Chances of success won't be so good.
I totally agree, because I think a lot of discussion, Nancy, is that the organizer needs to understand the exhibitor and so on, which is right, because finally the exhibitor is buying the space from the organizer. There is a responsibility getting the right kind of attendees and so on, but a big chunk of the responsibility still remains with the exhibitor themselves.
Right. Yes. The marketing, the strategy, the creative, you know, you need to personalize everything about what's going to happen at that show. You need to know your target audiences. You need to frame the messaging in a way that's going to catch the attention of the attendees that you're looking to connect with. You can't, you know, I mean, this is, you know, marketing 101, but you got to work it. It's hard. Again, the messaging, the opportunities in the booth. And there's so much exciting stuff that you can do. If you have a product to showcase, have the product in the booth. Now, if you have major capital equipment, try to become creative about maybe having an element of a product. I know, like at automotive shows, I've seen elements for major transportation, like a big metal piece that would be part of like a trailer system, but it's a centerpiece. It's something that can be touched, experienced, and, you know, it draws the right, you know, attendees into the booth to have that conversation, you know, to explore, you know, sales opportunities, yeah. That sort of thing. It's harder if you have a service. You need to bring your product to life through creative ways. I've seen like medical companies, pharmaceuticals come up with these really emotional experiences, you know, having an experience where an attendee can understand the benefit to a patient through some kind of experience within the booth. Again, so yes, that creative. The responsibility is on the part of an exhibitor to do what's necessary to provide that visceral, memorable experience to attendees. And I keep saying the word experience because, you know, it's important to more attendees today than it was in the past. Why is that the case? Well, you got Gen Xers, millennials that are the majority of trade show attendees now, right? That, you know, very basic, no nonsense elevator pitch. It's not enough anymore. You've got to give that cool kind of visceral, memorable experience to resonate and, you know, outcompete other exhibitors that are on that show floor looking to try to gain the attention, right? Those that are coming to a show.
Absolutely. So from the research, do you see that the focus is actually shifting back from digital experiences or digital solutions to more in-person experiences? Is that a shift back to in-person from tech?
Right now, in-person's the thing. And looking forward in terms of where organizers and exhibitors are interested in enhancing or even new models, digital's out. Right. You know, it's in the teens, hybrid, virtual, that sort of thing. That's not to say that digital has no place. That's wrong. But the opportunity is to curate the content that happens at a physical event and then curate it for purposes post-event. But there's just this appetite, this demand to go and leverage all benefits that flow from the in-person physical environment, which is great. I mean, what we see right now are exhibitors are the ones that are driving the recovery. If you look at the index, those metrics are strong, performing more strongly. Attendance is lagging a little bit, and that's largely a function of the cost of traveling and the like. We're going to be running an organizer benchmarking study to discern perception on the part of organizers in terms of quality versus quantity of attendees. You know, if costs, I mean, we just heard about the Federal Reserve here in the United States just lowered the interest rate for lending, but there's a, I guess inflation is stickier, right? More persistent. Mm-hmm. And so the extent of organizations sending fewer staff to it, to trade shows might continue to the next year. But what we've heard anecdotally, we want to quantify is that the quality of attendance is very strong. So in some ways, even during the pandemic, exhibitors were very happy with the quality of it. It was the buyers coming, the ones they wanted to talk to, rather than tire kickers or end users, those that aren't involved in the purchasing decisions, which are important, right? If you have end users, they can indeed influence purchasing decisions. But again, this is something that we'll be monitoring. But exhibitors are back because 94% of exhibitors that we polled in an omnichannel study done in 2021, we said, well, once trade shows happen, are you coming back? And 94% said, yes, we're coming back. And the data in terms of what's actually happening affirms that. And again, it's because of the high value placed on using the trade show channel to meet their high priority marketing and sales objectives. And this part three of the report series affirms that. I mean, we had done this research in 2017, and it's quite exciting to see that that trade shows deliver against specific performance benchmarks, whether it's for sales leads, number of leads, quality of leads, brand impressions, number of face-to-face engagements, that sort of thing. It's back. And so they're looking to squeeze all the value you can get out of that because, you know, well, simply that is going to inevitably drive sales.
Right. Before I move on to the next report, the fifth report, one quick question on this is that you said that there is a dip or still it's not back in terms of attendance because of inflation and so many other factors, cost and so on. Buyers are still not in. Do you think that there is some gap in how well organizers are actually promoting it to the buyers?
No, by comparison, I mean, number of attendees is improving, but not as fast a pace as
the exhibitor.
Exhibiting companies.
Correct.
And, correct. You know, I can't say with absolute certainty without polling attendees specifically, but the cost to travel is high. All these costs are high. Yeah. So, business travel is recovering, but there's been these lags as well.
Yes.
I think, you know, it's just a practical matter, right? If you need to go to a trade show, you might be sending fewer of your staff because of the expense to do that. So, did I answer your question?
Yeah, sort of. What I hear is that you need to do more research specific with attendees to get that data to be precise, but there is still a lag, and that is evident from the numbers that are.
Well, I mean, yeah, sure, but if I the Federal Reserve, I mean, noting that inflation is sticky.
Yeah.
You know, having been a sole proprietor, you know, when it comes down to costs, you might have to make hard decisions. You might still participate in the show, but send fewer staff. Right. Until things kind of open up. The value of trade shows to organizations that send staff are multiple. Not only is it to just, you know, support the buying decisions that need to happen, but it's also a place for training. And professional development is something that is a valued activity and actually has increased, you know, in activity per the research that we did. But again, I put my money on it that it's just being more careful with monies. They're not abandoning it.
Yeah.
But yeah.
They're being cautious.
Right. And right. I mean, in this current climate, you know, there's a change in administration. We'll see what happens. I think there's a level of uncertainty out there, right?
Yes,
in terms
absolutely.
Of, yeah.
It's time for a short break. Stay with us. After the break.
Ultimately, we also see, and in this study and in the in-depth interviews we did for this study, you see exhibitors having almost mini shows within a show, right? So to the issue of like having networking or, you know, having a stage in your booth, right? So for the education theater element of it or the product demonstration elements of it, there's a lot of that going on as well.
You are listening to a Bizcast Audio Original. Podcasting is one of the fastest growing content marketing avenues today. We can help you exploit this largely untapped marketing opportunity. you can craft your audio strategy and leverage the wide reach and easy streaming capability that smartphone penetration provides. It is powerful and personal. Talk to us to find out how podcasting can help you build your brand and reach out to target audiences. Welcome back. I'm Shubhanjan Sarkar, your host for the Trade Show podcast and founder of PitchLink, the visitor engagement platform. Let's dive right back into the episode. So in the fifth report where we are talking about in-booth versus outside engagement, right? How is that? So one is that you try to engage with them in separate locations. You try to engage with them outside the booth, either by promoting side events or hosting lunches and dinners and so on. I just want to know how are organizers reacting to it, because some of these are likely to go out of that trade show or event to somewhere else. And what did you see any sort of resistance from organizers to this phenomena?
This particular study focuses on attendee engagement on the show floor.
Right.
And you're talking about the phenomenon of exhibitors trying to, like, you know, lure attendees off the show floor to have exclusive engagement.
Right.
We don't cover that in this particular study, but it's an ongoing challenge of trying to, you know, particularly major shows might, you know, use at the convention center in Las Vegas, you know, contiguous hotels and that sort of thing.
Right, right.
There are tactics on the part of organizers to, you know, help control use of hotel rooms when it's a very large show, to make sure that the, you know, the critical mass on a show floor continues, or, you know, co-opting those kinds of engagements off the show floor. But ultimately, we also see, and in this study and in the in-depth interviews we did for this study, you see exhibitors having almost mini shows within a show, right? So to the issue of, like, having networking or, you know, having a stage in your booth, right? So for the education theater element of it or the product demonstration elements of it, there's a lot of that going on as well. Now, but that would all happen on the show floor. But and I mean, depending upon the size of the show, but there's always an ongoing effort to keep attendees on the show floor. So from a networking perspective, you know, you've got receptions that can happen during show hours, off show hours. You've got lounges of all varieties, you know, places for people to rest the larger the show. You're going to have those offerings, as well as lounges for like-minded people to connect with each other. What's new is concerts, too, as a tactic to keep attendees on the show floor longer. And I was just with Tom Gattuso with SEMA. He was a part of a panel that we did at Expo Expo, and he has an incredible example that they have, SEMA Fest. So, as well as Clarion, talking about the use of concerts. And it keeps people engaged. They hang out. So,
yeah, interesting. Coming to the sixth one, product opportunities outside exhibit booths, right? You mentioned it just now in a different context. But attendees are increasingly telling that most of their experiences in the booths are not remarkable. They're unremarkable experiences.
Who says that? We haven't heard that.
Not in your study. I'm putting it out from somewhere else. So my question to you is this something you see getting reflected? Or do you think attendees are, by and large, happy with what they're experiencing? So I'm coming from that point, actually, when you talk about the experiential bit of attendees. Do you see or hear anything which is like, it can be more experiential, or it is not enough, or attendees are happy. So what is your take on that?
Well, you want me to give you the happiness from the attendee perspective. What we have is the perspective of, from the vantage point of exhibitors and organizers, the elements that are found to enjoy high attendee use. So that would be the measure of, you know, attendee, you know, engagement. But we don't have the sentiment element on the attendee side of the equation. Keep in mind that there's over 9,600 trade shows that happen in the United States every year. So, you know, a little hard to, some shows do a better job than others, right? The ones that are apt to be the most amazing might be the, like, the flagship shows within the different sectors, right? And areas of challenge might be for the smaller regional shows. That's not necessarily the case. Some regional events might be amazing, depending upon the creativity of those that are, you know, involved, what the objectives are for that specific regional event. But I mean, when it's a national, international show, there's just a lot more. The volume is just like shock and awe, right? Wow, right? So I can't, it's the importance of exhibitors, you know, thinking of how to bring their products to life, to have the right staff in the booth who are going to be engaging to give the experiences. And I mean, you don't have to spend a lot of money to really connect with those that are coming to your show. But I don't know if I'm fully answering your question.
Well, it is more about, I mean, I was trying to sort of see whether what one is hearing is also getting reflected in the, but as you rightly said, this was not about the attendee piece. It is more about the exhibitor piece of the whole equation, primarily focused on the exhibitor. When we move to the seventh report, what do you see is working in the learning focused activities? I mean, are exhibitors linking this primarily to the lead generation part of their focus or the brand building part of the focus? What role is this playing when they're investing in sessions, investing in speaking slots and so on?
For the learning perspective, from the exhibitor perspective, it's really projecting thought leadership, you know? So it might be, I'm thinking of one example of a trade show exhibitor that had their clients talking about how they use their software and case study examples of how that's worked well, you know, the positive outcomes and being part of education that drives traffic to their booth. So it's synergistic, right? The education on the show floor is most successful when it's interactive. I mean, you want that energy. And the scope of this study was what's happening on the show floor. So learning activities. So again, to basically support the objectives for exhibiting, you might want to be on a stage where you're talking about your new products and how they're of benefit to the attendees. You might want to offer hands-on training for some kind of new product. Anything that's interactive, engaging is more popular on a show floor, learning activity. Anything that pertains to a hot industry or new a trend, also very popular. You can have a session that is 45 minutes or shorter and is going to draw an audience if it truly is a hot industry trend that attendees on that show floor care about. So to the issue of an exhibitor investing in that kind of activity, their ultimate objective, of course, is to, you know, generate leads or attention or motivate individuals that could be prospects for what they're selling to go to the booth to have conversations. But the one thing, too, to the issue, you know, you say, I mean, there are underpinnings here to drive leads and brand impressions. So digital is quite important to all of this, right? And I in the lecture that I just did at Expo Expo, you know, having like QR codes and that sort of thing where individuals who are inspired by what they've seen should be visible in those areas if they want to make product requests, or so that you use all tools to generate sales leads or drive traffic to the booth in, you know, easy to access ways on the part of attendees, as well as having booth staff available. Like if there's like a new product, we're not really talking about education, but I'm just thinking as well from new product demonstration areas of if attendees get to try out the product. That's a wonderful, fantastic thing to do. Particularly, you know, if it's a product where you can touch, feel, taste, to have that demo area, but also to have staff available there on the exhibitor side to answer questions on the part of attendees that participate. And then either do, you know, scanning of badges, or if there's not room for that self-serve QR code scanning. So again, either to get that product information or, you know, some kind of teaser to get attendees to go to the booth, right? To basically try to help achieve as many end goals as possible through that.
Right. So essentially what I hear you say is it starts with thought leadership, but depending upon it, the whole learning piece starts with thought leadership as the core, but finally it's getting led to some form of lead generation, which can then further go down the journey to convert. Am I getting it right?
Well, it depends, right? I mean, it's the hard thing is when you're doing learning, you don't want it to be a hard pitch.
Correct, of course.
So, but like I'm thinking of Minitab as an exhibitor, artfully, you know, integrating their clients. So it's almost like testimonials of clients demonstrating how their software, you know, help them to succeed in something. But thought leadership as the hook to help exhibitors achieve, you know, their end goals. Ultimately, they're going to want to sell a product or a service, but it cannot be a hard sell on the learning side of the equation.
Finally, so going to the last report, which is report 8, we are talking about the outcome evaluation and the trends related to the future outlook. So, what are the key findings there?
Basically, of course, attendees are looking to maximize engagement from both the attendee and the exhibitor perspective, and they look at all the metrics that they have available in terms of volume of engagement and interaction and sentiment, right? Reaction to the experiences that are made available. In terms of like area of focus moving forward, there's an impetus, there's a motivation to enhance the entertainment element of events. There's a recognition that there's a base level expectation on the part of emerging generations to not only, you know, do the business at a show. Now I'm talking from the attendee perspective, but there's an expectation for it to be, you know, entertaining. So there's a high interest in like increasing the fun factor of the experience. Exhibitors are interested in delivering that as well. I mean, you can see that in many spaces. I mean, even look at baseball. Have you been to, is it like the Savannah Banana? There's a baseball team. Everything's focused on making things shorter, funner. Have you ever been to one of those games?
No, not those, but I've been to a baseball game, but not those.
Oh, check it out. I mean, everything's infused with entertainment and fun and memorability, and, you know, organizers are attuned to that, and they're integrating certain elements that would be more consumer focused, like puppies and that sort of thing, to kind of like, you know, I don't know, make people more relaxed while they still, you know, the core of any trade show is it's all about the business, right? Buying and selling, and professionals are coming to learn, you know, to train up for competitive advantage for their own career advancement, as well as to help their companies. So it's just looking to enhance all of those elements.
Okay. Is there anything specific that pops out from how they're assessing the outcome?
Well, as I said, they're looking at sentiment, net promoter scores, that sort of thing. And I mean, you know, we'll be actually doing an organizer benchmarking study that's going to be launching earlier this year to quantify, you know, a wide range of metrics to see where the industry is and to provide those benchmark planning tools for organizers to see how their results compare against, you know, results industry-wide as well as by sector and that sort of thing. So, I mean, you know, retention is going to be important, right, from both the attendee and the exhibitor side, as well as cost, that sort of thing, a whole laundry list of performance benchmarks.
Yes. So when you look at the future trends from this particular set of studies that you see, what is it that people are looking forward to in 2025? I mean, in the short term, what are they thinking, both the exhibitors and the organizers? What do you see is like really top of mind for them as far as the attendee engagement is concerned?
Well, again, looking at the fun factor of making sure that resonates, as well as, you know, delivering against their business needs. As well, there'll be experimentation maybe with the show floor. Now, one area of challenge, you know, activations are popular, right, to the issue of entertainment. We haven't talked about activations, and it kind of causes a tension on a trade show floor because you normally have all these exhibit booths. Then you've got activations that are separate from the exhibit booth. So I think there'll be ongoing experimentation in that regard, because activations can, like, you know, make an event pop, you know, give that experiential feel to the trade show. There's interest, well, face-to-face engagement, maximizing those opportunities. So whether it's matchmaking, hosted buyer formats interspersed with what's happening in a traditional, you know, trade show floor with, you know, a grade of exhibits, as well as getting rid of pipe and drape, you know, experimenting with show floor formats that, you know, don't have that. And as well, really looking to analyze the data that they have to help personalize the experiences. That's it, right? We're living in a hyper-personalized marketing world, and there's a desire to take the analytics that are gleaned by organizers to flip that into more meaningful value experiences for the attendees, as well to deliver more powerful positive outcomes for our exhibitors that invest, exhibitors and sponsors, right? So that's it in a nutshell, I think, in terms of the key areas. It's, you know, it's just iterative, right? There, I said that word without stumbling over it. You know, the session I just did at Expo Expo with two organizers is like, how do you future-proof your trade show? There are no easy answers. I mean, organizers need to be bold. So do exhibitors to experiment. I mean, I encourage people to download the reports in this series, but, you know, the magic rests in the hands of the organizer and the exhibitors to try things that are new. You know, I was with Amanda Gocci with Clarion and Tom Gattuso with SEMA, and they do some pretty cool things. I mean, you need to just take a risk, try something new, look at what's going on in the consumer setting in in-person retail or festivals or in sporting arenas for ideas and try it out. And if it doesn't work, throw that away and try again. It's an iterative process. There's a lot of great shows out there. I mean, I think our trade show industry is doing quite well. So I'm looking forward to see what more we do in the future.
PitchLink makes buying easy by enabling high-quality engagement between buyers and sellers. Through its presentation and discussion modules, sellers create customized sales narratives using sales collaterals and personal videos and reach out to prospects through a non-intrusive, buyer-qualified engagement process. PitchLink requires no installation or download, contains and manages the entire repository of sales collaterals and buyer-seller conversations. Talk to us to know more about how you can engage with customers without interruption. Connect with us on LinkedIn or visit tradeshowengage.com. That is tradeshowengage.com. Wonderful. Nancy, thank you so much for making time. End of the year with a hectic week behind you. I wish you all the very best and Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, and talk soon.
Well, Sapancha, thank you so much. I enjoy speaking with you. So I wish you the same for a very happy holidays. So thanks again.
We have a fantastic lineup over the next couple of episodes featuring great conversations on engaging your booth visitors and maximizing your ROI from your trade show investments. Subscribe in your favorite podcast app so you do not miss a single episode. Thanks for listening. Thank you for being with us today on the Trade Show Podcast, the podcast of record for the trade show and events industry. Here we talk to movers and shakers of the $50 billion trade show industry and identify ideas, challenges, tactics, and strategies to leverage the first-party intent inherent in the trade show business. We hope this conversation helped inform and motivate as we all navigate a rapidly changing business environment. For us, these are enlightening conversations enriched with knowledge and expertise. We encourage you to go out and implement some of the ideas we discussed today. We hope to have you with us again in the next exciting episode of the Trade Show Podcast. If you liked what you heard, subscribe to the show in your favorite podcast platform like iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, or wherever else you get your podcast from, and give us a rating while you are at it. This is a Bizcast original podcast and is produced for PitchLink, the next generation visitor engagement platform, where our mission is to make buying easy. Hosted by Shubhanjan Sarkar and produced by Rajiv Aditya. See you next time and have a wonderful day.